Welcome to the Swing Hard Podcast. I'm Barry Eller. On this podcast, we're going to dive into behind the scenes of what it's like to be a golf course owner and operator. We're not going to stop there. We're going to talk about so many different aspects of the golf industry in general. Today, I'm with Leslie Adkins. She'll be my co-host. And behind the camera, sound, everything else technical, Luca. This is going to be a lot of fun, Leslie. We're going to get into a little bit about the Windmill Golf Group and the business in general. How I got involved in the golf industry. Leslie, I'll give it to you for a minute.
No, absolutely. So let's get to know you a little bit better. Tell me about yourself and about the Windmill organization.
Well, good question. I feel like I've told the story a lot, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail just because this podcast is probably going to be new to a lot of people that haven't heard before. But I've come from a long generation or long history of golf course operators. It started with my grandfather in the 1950s. We're here in Calgary, Alberta. The golf business for him started in southern Alberta in a small town, only a couple thousand people, called McGrath. When he started in the golf industry, it was only nine-hole golf course. My dad grew up around the industry, and he fell in love with the game and naturally thought, gosh, I can't be on a mower for the rest of my life, so how do I actually make a career out of this? So my dad went away to school. He became a landscape architect. He actually designed probably about 12 or 15 golf courses, primarily around Alberta, did some redesign work, and then in the late 80s, he actually had the opportunity to become majority partner of a golf course, which he still is today. And so I was young then, right? Like I was 8, 9, 10 years old, and I've pretty much known nothing but golf my whole life. Yes, I've been involved in other businesses, and I'm going to talk a little bit about those things. But ever since my kind of mid to late 20s, I've been involved in golf full time. As a career before that, obviously growing around. My first job, and I like to share this, my first job in the golf course business, I remember still this head pro gave me this long screwdriver, probably like this long, had a big yellow handle, and the driving range had not fully grown in. So there was still grass that was sparse in areas, and he gave me this yellow screwdriver, and he says, you need to go out to the middle of the driving range and start prying balls out of the range. That was my first experience to golf. Mm-hmm. I still don't know how I lived through that. Hard helmets back in the day. I mean, this is over 30 years ago, right? So No hard helmets. I remember I didn't get hit. I don't know how I didn't get hit either, but I didn't. And so that was my introduction to golf. And then ever since, it's just been a passion of mine, something I've grown up around, something that I've, you know, loved. I played competitive golf. I still play a lot of golf. Not sure I'm going to be playing you too much, but we'll see. We'll see in the spring because we're just heading into winter here. So yeah, that's how I got into the golf business, really with family. I'm the only one kind of in my family left in the business other than my dad here in Calgary. Now we have 5 golf courses of Windmill Golf Group. Those would be the Hamptons, Bearspaw Golf Club, Springbank Links, Mickelson National, and Heritage Point. And then we've started a new venture as an organization called Launchpad Golf, which is kind of blown up for us, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Just been about 5-6 weeks since we opened our first location. We have a second location opening up late in the spring. We're hoping for May, but a little bit of a different part of the industry that I'm really excited to get into a little bit later in the podcast, maybe an entire episode or a couple episodes about Launchpad and about just some of the different golf courses. So there you have it. That's how I got into the industry. Something that I love and I can't see myself ever doing anything else.
Oh, that's awesome. And tell me, let's just jump back a little bit.
Right.
What kind of businesses did you have before Windmill? Can you tell me a bit about that?
Yeah. So I went to business school. I knew ever since I was a young kid, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. And, mm-hmm. and I think entrepreneurs are born. It's not something you're trained to become. Yeah. You either kind of got it or you don't. And, you know, that in itself, I'd like to dive into at another time as well, because I think there's some telltale signs of, you know, true blue entrepreneurs, which is what I think I am and many other people as well. I got into business school and I wrote a business plan that actually did pretty well.
Where did you go to business school?
So I was in at Brigham Young University in Utah. I went away to the United States and lived there for several years.
Okay.
Wrote this business plan, started a retail business and a wholesale business, selling these massive oversized beanbag chairs. Like the biggest thing you've ever seen in your life. You could put 3 adults on these things. And we grew that little company to 8 retail stores, sold it. I've been talking to my dad about moving back home because I was in Texas. I started with my brother-in-law in Texas. But, you know, my roots are in Calgary in Canada. And so I always felt like and knew that I wanted to get back to Canada at some point in time. And so the timing just worked out right. And yeah, I've been back for, gosh, almost 20 years, not quite, I guess, 17, 18 years, I think now. Oh, wow. And things have grown and expanded.
Yeah. And the retail business, how long were you doing that for?
So including the time that I was in school, I think that was about 4 to 5 years. This is going back. I'm dating myself. I'm not even quite 43. 43 on December 3rd.
Oh, same.
But yeah, I think it's going back over 20 years when that was started, when I was still in university. And it was a great learning experience. Like I go back to some of those experiences and I remember sitting in an office going, you know, I'm supposed to be running this company. And some days I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Like I still remember those thoughts and, you know, some of those things don't change. Like even today, I think, you know, I'm the CEO of this company where, you know, we've grown quite extensively and we have well over 500 people in our organization during the golf season, and the addition of Launchpad is going to grow that quite a bit as well. But yeah, the learning experiences of kind of throwing myself in the fire to force myself to, you know, make decisions and to learn some of these, you know, simple business concepts. And of course, school helped with those, some of those things, especially from a finance perspective. I can draw a lot back to my education on, you know, even basic things, your balance sheet, your income statement, statement of cash flow, and the interconnectivity between those things. And I spend a lot of time on those things now today in the golf business that I didn't realize how important those were when I was first in this retail business of the analyzing of the different financial aspects of the business. So yeah, it was a great learning experience. I wouldn't go back and do it again. I'm glad where we are today as an organization, but certainly was awesome time in my life.
No, that's great. And you talk about owning 5 golf courses. Can you tell me what it's like managing those golf courses?
Yeah. So, you know, managing the golf industry in general is very unique. And the reason it's unique from my perspective is you've got kind of a combination of a parks department, right, which is our maintenance or turf care, a retail department, which is our pro shop where all the check-in happens, a food and beverage department, and obviously admin and, you know, guest services, member services. And when you blend all those things together, I'm not sure there's another industry that does that, right? Like typical hospitality, the, you know, food and beverage business, that's the core business. And you're not mixing in, you know, and making sure that what's happening out in your parks department is working with your food and beverage department. So those little intricate things, I think, are something that we'll talk a lot about in this podcast, because it's really fascinating, I think, when people understand some of the intricacies of how those departments need to interact, how they need to work closely together to make sure the business is successful.
That's awesome. And you mentioned that you were a very competitive golfer. So
I don't know if I would say very competitive. I thought I was until I went to high school. I moved to high school one year in California, and I thought I was a decent golfer until then, but I love golf, and I've, you know, won a few golf events as a junior. And, you know, obviously I grew up around playing it a lot, you know, would show up at the golf course first thing in the morning. I mean, there were times I actually still remember where I'd pitch a tent, like it was my dad had the course, right? Pitch a tent at the golf course and just slept there. Like that was just normal life when I was a kid, right? So I feel really fortunate and blessed to have those opportunities. So anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'm not sure I was a super competitive golfer, but I love the game, no question.
How's your game now? Are you playing much?
You know, I play as much as I can. I've had a little bit of a back injury the last few years, but I did play quite a bit this year. I tell people often, I've got one good club in my bag, and that's driver. I hit driver pretty straight.
I've seen you hit your driver. It's very straight.
For whatever reason, driver goes straight for me. I wish I could hit my pitching wedge or even my putter as straight as I hit my driver, right? So, but I love golf. And yeah, you know, I'm probably a pretty low single handicap golfer. I haven't had an active handicap for a while. I have got a bunch of scores to enter in. The handicap system is something else I want to talk about on this podcast because, you know, I look at myself, for example, and, you know, I shot a lot of rounds around par this year, but I also shot a lot of rounds in the kind of low 80s. I think my highest score was probably 83 or 84 this year. Mm-hmm. But I think my handicap would be really close to zero just because of the way the handicap system is, right? Like it takes the average of your best 8 scores out of 20. And I shot enough lower scores with the tees that I play, with the course rating, with the slope, that I'm like, most of those scores would bring me really low into the, you know, 0, 1, 2 kind of 3 category of handicap. And I think it makes it difficult in some regards when you're not playing as competitively and your game isn't as tuned day to day that it might be for other people that are playing competitively. But it is what it is. It's the same playing field for everybody. So love golf and certainly have my days on the golf course for sure.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. I used to play competitively and I'm not playing too much now and I can feel my game getting a little rusty. So
you played a lot more competitively than most. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I started golf when I was 8 years old and I played my first tournament when I was 8 years old and I didn't stop competing until I was at the end of my senior year in college.
Right.
So I played that entire time. Just competitive golf has been my whole life to date.
And there's something unique about competitive golf. Like you played at a much higher level than I did. And, you know, I think you're from Scotland and played on the Scotland national team, which is unbelievable. But yeah, there's something unique that gets the blood flowing when you're on the first tee on a competitive round, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think it ever changes with the nerves.
Right.
I think I was nervous for every single tournament throughout all of the years, even when I was playing really well and was really confident with my game.
Right.
Just the nerves never go away. And I think you talk to professionals, I think they feel the same way too. So.
I think they do too. You know, I've been fortunate to get to know a few people that have, you know, gotten to the PGA Tour and have been very, very successful. And those nerves are still there. They're not anymore for me when I step on the tee with three buddies, like it's just blast and go. But yeah, if I was to play in an event now, I would probably be shaken. I'd probably shank driver, which is the only club I hit straight, right? So, but anyway, I love golf. Competitive golf is fun. It's definitely a great part of the golf industry for sure.
Yeah, so you're obviously very passionate about golf, very passionate about business. Tell me, what is your biggest passion, would you say?
Yeah, I'm just a passionate guy in general, right? Like I like to live life to the fullest. You know, I try to wake up pretty early in the day. I don't like to sleep. Like I'm one of these people where I feel like sleep's a waste of time. I know how important sleep is and getting adequate sleep, but yeah, I try to get up early. You know, I just have a zest for life. And, you know, my biggest passions for sure would be number one, my family. They're super important to me. My wife, my 4 kids, you know, golf and business is for sure right up there. And then I love other things related to business, the creative components of, you know, building. Like I've been involved in quite a bit of construction in my days, you know, in the golf industry and outside of the golf industry as well. And then beyond that, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan and a sports fan in general. So those are probably be 3 of my bigger passions, my family, the golf industry and business, Cowboys and sports in general.
Yeah. So with the Cowboys, do you go to many games?
Yes, we typically go to a few games and 7-2 this year, right? We're having a good year.
Great year.
Things are clicking, but yeah, I was at the game last weekend. Mm-hmm. Great game against Atlanta, 43-3. So
great score.
Lot of fun. We go down to AT&T Stadium in Dallas and have a lot of fun.
Yeah, and you touched upon Launchpad earlier.
Right.
What kind of vision do you see for 2022 with Launchpad?
Well, Launchpad is, you know, been a little bit of a surprise for me. Not so much from like, yes, I thought that people would gravitate to it and people would like the experience. And, you know, I think the world in general from a business standpoint is going so much more experienced-based than it has in the past. And that's a big focus for me inside the golf industry at our clubs and at Launchpad. But I think what surprised me is Launchpad is much more hospitality centric where people are coming just to have a great time. They're not caring as much about, you know, their actual shot.
Yeah.
And you know, the tracking of the technology and where their ball goes. Yes, that's important. And yes, we have the technology on the TV screens and, you know, all the measuring metrics so people can see where their ball's going and, you know, the targets that are lit in the outfield, but it's just more so of a hospitality experience. And so we're trying to get better and deliver that. We've opened the first location out by Mickelson National, which is 16 suites, but down just south of town by Heritage Point, we're going to open 40 later in 2022, hoping about May, late kind of spring. And it's been a great learning experience, a huge learning experience for me just because it's quite a bit different than the golf industry. You know, owning and operating golf courses.
Definitely. And when did you first have the idea of Launchpad? When did it all start?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been working on this specific concept over 4 years. There's other, you know, concepts that are similar throughout the world and the United States in general. Mm-hmm. But Canada is a different market. You know, geographically, we're different, not only because the weather here is quite a bit different than the United States, but, you know, I spend a lot of time focusing on something small as such as our heating systems, right? I worked with the company. We developed some specific technology so that we could dial up and dial down the intensity of our heat, and by doing that, we believe we're going to be able to keep people comfortable to like minus 20 degrees Celsius in the winter.
Oh, wow.
So we truly will be a year round business in that regard. And so far, you know, I think the experience in that regard has been good. We haven't had complaints of people being, you know, too cold. You've been there
a lot. I've been there many times.
Right. And it's been comfortable, right?
Yeah, so comfortable. Yeah. I mean, it was minus 2 degrees the other day, and this guy's in t-shirts.
Guys,
and there's snow on the ground.
Right. Yeah.
Just shows how warm and cozy the bays are.
Yeah. And you can't, I mean, you can turn up the heat all the way at minus two, but it's probably too hot. So
yeah,
it's a good sign being in Calgary, knowing that those minus 20 degree days are coming. I think part of our process will have to be the educational component of letting people know that we're actually open year round, right? A lot of people, you know, both golfers and not, and we think the mix of golfers and non-golfers would be about 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty evident when you're out there who the golfer is and who the non-golfer is. But we've got to let people know, they've got to, you know, understand and realize that we're open year round because, you know, typically in Calgary, this time of the year when the courses are closed, I think people take their clubs, you know, they put them in their basement, in their garage, they hang them up for the year, and they don't think a lot unless they're going out of town on a trip where they're going to play golf. But here we're truly year round at Launchpad Golf, and we're really excited for what the future holds with that business.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I know I'm going to be there all winter, and we can make our game sharp for next spring for our match. So
now let's talk about being there all winter, because you recently had a video go super viral at Launchpad that blew my mind. I mean, I just found out about this a week ago. You didn't even mention it to me. You didn't want to toot your own horn, but I know you're over 3.5 million views on that now, right?
I think I'm at 4 now.
Million views and probably 80 or 90,000 likes. I mean, that's spectacular. And you're really happy with what you're doing on your social media platforms and something that we're going to get into, you know, the different platforms that I've been involved with, you know, from YouTube, which is super important, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn. But you're growing quickly as well, which is awesome to have you part of the team.
Thank you. No, definitely. Especially, I mean, having Launchpad as the background with all the cool lights and everything and the technology.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a cool looking place and it's a lot of fun for me.
Yeah.
You mentioned, with YouTube and social media. So a business golf operator like yourself, you know, why is this so important to you? Why do you use it so much?
Well, you know what? That's a good question. Let's get into that for a minute because so a couple of things. Number one, I'm not sure there's any other golf course owner operators that are active on social media. Like maybe there is, but I haven't seen anybody. And so I felt like there's a unique opportunity to share a lot more about the business components, share a lot more about the ownership and the management of golf courses and beyond and what this industry really entails. And so I felt like that was an opportunity. And then beyond that, you know, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I started getting quite a bit of feedback from, you know, different people at our club, its members, you know, our team, that I wasn't as visible as some people would like. And, you know, the company had just grown to a point where I can only be at one place at one time. And not that I didn't want to be there, and I'm still at every golf course at least once a week. And many times I'm there more than once a week, but I'm not there 10 and 12 hours a day. Like when we had less golf courses and I was far more visible. So I thought to myself, maybe this would be a way to become more visible, to, you know, share, you know, not only amongst our clubs, but just people that are interested in the golf industry in general. So I took the plunge about a year and a half ago. And I said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to give it all I've got. And I've dedicated a lot of time to it and we've grown pretty good. Like I'm really happy with the amount of people that have, you know, watch the various pieces of content we have. And it's been a lot of fun. Like it's actually surprised me. You know, Luca was the first person that I hired, extremely talented. We'll get him on here one day to tell some of the funny stories about when I first started filming, but it was different. Like I thought I would be far more natural on camera.
Yeah.
The first filming experience actually went pretty good. The second one was just an absolute disaster. Like it was 2-3 hours of just rinse and repeat of the same thing. And I was so frustrated after that filming series, I was like, do I really want to get into this? Like, just crazy how difficult it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've spent hundreds, if not thousands of hours on camera now and, mm-hmm. you know, done a lot of different things and starting to become far more second nature.
Yeah.
But I think it's a great opportunity. I think there's so much that people don't realize happens at a golf course. You know, they come, they play golf, they're members at a golf course, but how much do they actually know about the little fine details of, you know, operation, yeah. ownership, you know, all those little procedures, processes, policies that are part of our industry.
Yeah. So that's something you're hoping to show more on your YouTube channel, like behind the scenes, operating
totally.
Golf courses.
Yeah. And we've done that to a degree on mm-hmm. YouTube with, you know, our maintenance departments or some of our operations team. We'll get more into that on YouTube. But of course, this podcast, I think, provides a unique platform to us to be able to talk about it. We'll be bringing a bunch of people from our team in to talk about operations, and we'll expand way beyond just operations and ownership. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there's some great things we can talk about with social media,
yeah.
other influencers, you know, people that are competitive golfers, mm-hmm. Media people that are in the industry. We're going to get as wide as we can to talk about golf. The Swing Hard podcast is something that, you know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I know you'll yeah. be on it a lot. We'll have lots of other people that'll join us as well. But just a great time to sit back and talk about golf in general. It's not difficult for me to talk about golf.
Yeah.
Like I could sit here all day and we could just weave through different topics related to the industry. So really looking forward to it.
Yeah, no, me too. And so with all of your experience and wisdom and everything you've learned over
the years.
You're
giving me too much credit already, but oh, thank you.
But what kind of advice would you give to someone that's new in their career that's just trying to figure things out?
Well, number one, you've got to be, and I think this is, you know, the small amount of success that I have had, I think is because I'm passionate and I love the industry that I'm in. So whether you want to get involved with golf or some other industry, make sure you're passionate about it.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I think most of the people that take golf as a career are passionate. Like mm-hmm. they love golf. They grew up around it. They're a competitive golfer, or, you know, they spent summers at their grandparents' cottage that was on a yeah. golf course. And that's where they, you know, got introduced to the game and they started, you know, working at a golf course. They have some tie and connection to golf, the people that are in the industry, but definitely passion is number one. I think it's super, super important.
So this is the first episode of the Swing Hard podcast.
Right.
Is there anything else you want to share to our audience?
Gosh, you know, I like I said, I'm really looking forward to this. I think there's going to be so many interesting topics that we're going to dive into, right? Like I think there's, you know, so many golf podcasts out there and so many great golf podcasts, but we're going to talk about some interesting things in the industry, in the operation, the ownership components, you know, influencers, marketing, operations, turf care. I am really looking forward to this without question. And I hope you guys have enjoyed the first episode of the Swing Hard podcast. We're going to be broadcasting this on your favorite podcast platforms along with YouTube. If you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, you can find me at Barry Ehlert. My last name is spelled E-H-L-E-R-T. Hopefully you enjoyed what you've heard today. We'll see you next time.